Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Whatever you say, erect, I'll say erect.
You are just losing your mind over the JD comment.
Yeah.
Because that was way worse than that.
And Chris Ello.
Tony Mulan in 1883. Old Hose Radborn, 1883.
Wait, that was his name?
No.
Old Hose?
No.
Old Hoss Radborn.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
It's 4:04. You're listening to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. And I want to remind everybody, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Cubs on Wednesday, September 11th, plus two tickets to see San Diego State's home opener on August 31st versus Weber State. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for two-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip, and tickets to see Paul Abdul's newest show. So, you know, make sure you sign up at 973thefan.com/biggestfan to enter. Now, Chris, remember last week, we talked about the whole Verlander and the Astros denying access.
Thursday.
Yes, Thursday. Denying access to a Detroit Free Press reporter that apparently, we're starting to find out there's been some bad blood between Verlander and I believe the gentleman's name is Fenech. Anthony Fenech. I'll give you some of the details. The relationship began to deteriorate on August 22nd, 2017, when Fenech joined a conversation Verlander was having with Al Kaline in the Tigers clubhouse at Comerica Park. Fenech had just finished an interview with Verlander a few minutes prior, and Kaline's name had come up. Fenech began talking to the two men. Now, during the conversation, which was casual in nature, Verlander talked about his experiences traveling to Tennessee and watching the solar eclipse on August 21st. And Fenech posted two tweets about the exchange. And in case you guys may not have been aware, because I certainly wasn't before I read it, apparently, Justin Verlander is like an admitted astronomy enthusiast. Like, this is something that he's into. So I think, at least in Justin's eyes, this was a private conversation between Al Kaline and Justin that he allowed Fenech to join. But I think the line was crossed when Fenech then tweeted out exactly what he said. And this goes to your point that you were making, Chris, that you don't just have the right. He was nice enough to let you in a personal conversation between two possible Hall of Famers when it's all said and done, and you don't have the right to then go repeat what you heard in the conversation.
Absolutely not. I mean, to me, this is like, I don't know if it's the first rule of journalism, but it's in the top five. I mean, come on. If you're going to be getting access to these players, getting access to the locker room, in order to build trust, one thing you don't do is take a private conversation, even if you think it's a public conversation, and repeat everything you heard to everybody.
Yeah.
I can totally understand why Verlander was upset. Verlander ripped Fenech in a profanity-laced rant in the Tigers' dugout in front of the coaches, I guess the next day or later that day. So this guy, Fenech, has known for a couple of years now that he's not exactly welcome around Justin Verlander. And the Detroit Free Press has known about this as well.
More importantly,
I would imagine. I can't imagine they didn't know anything about this for the last 2 years. So when this all came down last week and Verlander said, "I'm not talking if you let that guy into the locker room," look, Verlander didn't handle it the best, and we said
neither
so.
Neither did the Astros.
But that being said, I still think Justin Verlander has a right to not want to speak to somebody like this. And all he needed to do was basically call the guy out in front of everybody.
In front of his colleagues,
and
yeah.
say, I'm not talking as long as that guy's here. That's it. And if Justin Verlander had to do it all over again, I think that's what he would have done, or that's what he should have done. But, you know, Tony, we all hear things all the time.
All the time.
That, yeah, that, you know, aren't necessarily for public consumption. They're not said for public consumption. So for us to go ahead and, yes, we heard it, but for us to run up here to our microphones and then just blab it out to everybody, okay, we did that. And it's not against the law necessarily, but we better be willing to pay the consequences.
It's going to make our job tougher.
We better be willing to pay the consequences the next time we go down to the locker room and ask somebody. I'm going to give you an example of one that happened to us earlier this year. And I don't want to say the player, and I don't really even want to say exactly what it was all about because I think it would give it away. But you and I had one of our Friar Friday conversations, and everything was on the, you know, record. We're doing the interview back and forth. Then the interview was over. Thank you very much. Thank you. Nice meeting you. Nice meeting you. Then the player said something that I thought was pretty interesting, but it was after the conversation was over.
There was a reason why he didn't give it up.
He didn't give it up in the conversation, right. But after the conversation he said something, and I ran up here, and you ran up here, and I thought to myself, boy, that's kind of interesting news. I think that's newsworthy. However, I have no right to say it.
Right.
Because it was not told to me in the context of, hey, this is a conversation that I would like repeated. And it wasn't anything negative about anybody. It was just a personal opinion that the player had. And I can understand that in this particular situation, it wasn't what he wanted shared.
Yeah.
But so, if a reporter is going to go ahead and take information that they're not supposed to necessarily be in on, or they're going to be allowed in on something, it's at your own risk if you want to run around and tell everybody about it, because you're going to get shut down by a lot of these players. And as soon as your name gets mentioned by one player, hey, don't talk to that guy because he'll lay you out. Then no one's going to talk to that guy,
right.
And now you don't even have a job.
And so, listen, I know you're probably listening like, that's it? Okay, so it didn't start with that incident in 2017 and end with this incident in Houston. There was a couple more incidents in between, and I'll get into those. The next issue came on September 12th, 2018, during an interview that went on and off the record and ended with a disagreement about the context surrounding the exchange of a phone number. Finneck had been assigned to ask Verlander about a Bleacher Report story published August 9th, 2018, in which Verlander said Tigers misdiagnosed an injury in 2015. The Free Press was the first Detroit media outlet to ask Verlander about the comments. Verlander later apologized to the Tigers for his characterization of the situation. So it seemingly has been far too much miscommunication between the two that it's going to allow for there to be any trust at all. So at that point, you know, and as you say, once you cross that line, now that player's got his antennas up every single time. And it may not even be a huge mistake that you make the second and third time.
Nope.
But the trust is already lost, and he's not going to give you the benefit of the doubt at this point.
Try cheating on your wife once. See how that goes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, they're going to remember it for a long, 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 long time. Yeah. Even if you're the greatest person of all time and you buy all the flowers and cars and presents in the world.
Even if you show true remorse at that point, it's an uphill battle, right?
It's a lot of times, and it should be a lost cause.
Right.
So I don't blame Justin Verlander at all for not wanting to deal with this reporter. And that was my whole point last week. That there are too many reporters that just
You're
automatically
right.
assume that since they have access to the players, you know, with a media badge, that they then have access to go out and, you know, spout everything that they see and hear. And you know what? In a lot of, I guess they do. I mean, if you see something, but be prepared to pay the consequences.
That's all. There's a lot of, we're not sitting there saying that you can't. But we are saying that there could be consequences. Don't come whining when those consequences hit. We're going to step away and take a break. Pay some bills when we come back. The Dodgers are here in town, and they brought a little momentum. As I said, they lost 2 or 3 to the Yankees. Whatever momentum they had built up kind of got stymied. But nevertheless, we'll get a check-in on the Dodgers next with Dylan Hernandez of the Los Angeles Times. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Petco Park, Gwynn and Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Padres getting set to host the Dodgers. Think the Padres have ever been 40 games over 500? Like even for one day? I don't think so.
No, probably not.
I'm thinking not. The best
they got close in 98.
That's what I was going to say. The best record they ever had was 98-64. In 1998, so that's 34 games over.
I bet you
they ever get to 40?
Remember, they struggled in that last month of the season. So if they finished there, there might have been a chance where they were at one point at least 40 or close to it.
Look that up, Scraby. See if the 98 team ever got over 40 games over 500, because that's where the Dodgers are right now, 86-46. That's just mind-boggling to me.
It is.
And it's coming off a weekend in which they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. I imagine everyone in Los Angeles is in full panic mode as Dylan
sure
Hernandez joins us from the Los Angeles Times. Dylan, it was a fun weekend to see the Yankees and the Dodgers. Too bad you just saw a bunch of guys wearing black uniforms play a bunch of guys wearing white uniforms, and we're not really sure who was who, but what did we get out of this weekend series, if anything?
I mean, I think we did get an idea of, you know, why the Yankees are going to be a tough matchup for the Dodgers, right? I mean, they're offensively actually very similar to the Dodgers. They're a team with a lot of patience and also a lot of power, right? So, you know, even, say, when they're not stringing hits together, they're going to be able to, A, run up, you know, the starter's pitch count, and B, kind of hit the occasional home run to get a run or two up on the board. And what we kind of saw was, again, because of that patience, you know, they were getting the pitch counts up and turning this into bullpen games. And obviously the Dodgers' issue is that they don't have a very good bullpen. You know, so while you can look at this as like, okay, well, it's just 3 games and, you know, in August, what's the big deal? At the same time, I do think we did get a preview of sorts of the types of games that the Dodgers can expect to play in October if they do get to the World Series and happen to play against the Yankees.
Dylan, you brought up the bullpen. I've been on this thing for almost the entire season. And
no, you've been on this thing for 2 seasons.
Now, is I know how you feel about it. I know how myself feels about it. Is that a sentiment met with, I mean, at least with the fan base as well?
Oh, yeah. You know, and actually, if anything, I've been actually shocked at how much the fans have turned on Kenley Jansen, you know?
Yeah, I've been surprised by that too.
Yeah, like nobody likes their closer almost, right? I mean, you know, I mean, in San Diego, obviously you guys had Hoffman down there and maybe he's like one of the exceptions, right? But, you know, I get this thing, right? You know, a lot of the worst moments that a fan can experience comes because the closer, you know, wasn't able to close the game out. I get that, you know, but that said, I mean, when you look at Jansen, I mean, he's had 6-7 great seasons. You know, not only that, but if you remember, you know, heading into his walk year as a free agent in the playoffs, he pitched 3 no-hit innings in an elimination game, right? Yeah. This guy sacrificed potentially his health and his big contract, you know, out of this obligation to the team. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking, well, if anyone's going to get a free pass here, it's Kenley Jansen. And
how
not at all,
forget.
Right? I mean, they're treating him the way they treated Joe Kelly earlier this year, the way they treated, you know, Pedro Baez in the past. Before that, you know, Chris Hatcher was a whipping boy at some point.
Oh,
and now
man.
It's become,
poor Chris Hatcher.
You know, now,
I remember that one.
Yeah, now, like, Jansen's kind of taking the brunt of that, and I kind of don't, you know, and it's weird, too, because he's a stand-up guy, right, for the most part.
Yep.
You know, he's up there, right? He blows a save. He's there talking. You know, he's acknowledging that there's a problem. He's saying, you know, he's a guy that when you get to the ballpark, yeah, you know, Tony, you remember this, right? You know, whenever, right, Clayton Kershaw for years was always the first guy out on the field, right? You get out there and you see him running as guys are just showing up. That's Kenley now, right? So given all these things, you would think that the guy could get a free pass, but again, that's kind of the level of the angst here, right?
Yeah,
you know, people are concerned that, you know, and that's kind of one thing, you know, and I hate to keep bringing up the TV deal every time I'm on this show, but he is kind of in some ways a victim of this Dodgers TV deal where, you know, the regular season, all this regular season excellence over the last however many years, the reality is that a lot of Los Angeles has not gotten to see that. And all they remember is what happens in the playoffs. You know, obviously, you're going to remember the game or two that he blew every season, you know. So, I mean, I've been getting emails, you know, because I just wrote something the other day saying, look, this is the reality of the situation. They need Kenley Jansen to regain his form, right? I think the chances of that are happening better with him pitching the ninth inning than if he is dealing with the demotion and all the kind of backlash, right? All the controversy that's going to come with that. So you need to keep him as their closer. The number of emails that I got from people saying this guy's the worst closer in baseball and stuff, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable, you know?
Really?
But yeah, oh yeah. Like, you know, get rid of this guy. I mean, the letters, you know, where the readers write into the newspaper? We still print those things. And this past Saturday, I think if you read the letters, the first like seven of them were about how terrible Kenley Jansen is. And what an idiot Dave Roberts is for keeping him as his closer.
Dodger fans don't overreact, though, by any means.
No, they don't overreact at all, do they?
You know, what do they want the team to be, 132-0?
Because if it's not, you know, I think, right, you know, it's one thing, I think, last year, right? They were coming off losing the World Series, and it's like, okay, now we're going to make another charge at it. Now it's becoming, though, right, they're in danger of becoming baseball's Buffalo Bills, you know? And I think that because of what's happened in the last 2 years, there's a big fear of, oh, God, we're going to get there again, and you're just going to get heartbroken again. And so the market is really kind of bracing itself for, you know, kind of this disappointment that they're almost expecting to feel at this point.
Dylan Hernandez, Los Angeles Times, love having him on the program, joins us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Dylan, is there anybody that is reasonable around this Dodger, and let's leave the fans out for a moment, anybody who's reasonable, who understands what they've accomplished the last 2 years, plus 40 games over 500 this year, simply is just not that easy to do, and appreciates this ball club for what it has accomplished and what it still has a chance to accomplish. I mean, yes, they could be the Buffalo Bills. They also could end up winning two or three of the next four World Series and go five or six times in a row, for all I know, because this organization is so stacked right now. I've been amazed this year at the contributions they've got from the Will Smiths of the world and the I don't know, Garlic. And you name a guy that comes up from the minor leagues, it seems like they all hit a two-run homer every game. So is there anybody realistically who thinks, boy, what a job this organization has done?
I think in the game there is that appreciation, right? Within the sport of baseball, people recognize that. And I do think, you know, you mentioned Will Smith and Garlic, right? I mean, I think that that's actually a huge point here is that now we know also that this front office, kind of the one question mark that I still had is, can these guys draft and develop players, right? Because even, you know, Alex Verdugo, the rookie this year, was drafted by Logan White, right? Cody Bellinger, drafted by Logan White. Corey Seager, drafted by Logan White. You know, Walker Buehler was this front office's first draft pick. And now we're starting to see the next, right, the guys kind of following
the next
Buehler
wave.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Right. And now we're seeing, okay, so these guys seem to know what they're doing, right? And like, you know, Garlic and I think Beedy, right? One guy was, I think, drafted the 11th or 13th round pick, and the other guy was like in the 20-something. Right. When those guys start making it and kind of right becoming role players, that's a really good sign, I think. Right. That's a sign of a really good system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that within the game, there is that appreciation. You know, unfortunately, though, like everything, you know, in this market, things get tainted by this TV deal. Right. It's kind of inescapable. Right. A lot of what they're able to do is they're able to do these things because they have the money. Now, that said, this money came through a television contract that has allowed. Right, that has prevented most of Los Angeles from watching this team play at all, you know? So there is this kind of like, okay, well, you better do something with it, right? And there was, I think, like at the beginning, you know, when this ownership group first came in and they had that one team with Adrian Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez, right? And they went out and just got everybody, you know, you're kind of, okay, so maybe this is kind of worth it. And there is this kind of thing that the organization has to deal with, I think, on a yearly basis where fans are going to be evaluating, okay, was it worth not being able to watch games the entire season, you know? And these are years that are now just kind of, right, you know, coming off, you know, there are a lot of kids now, right, that are growing up not having watched the Dodgers on television, you know? This thing's been year six now, I think, right? If you were 6 years old when this ownership group took over, you're 12 years old now, right? You're like in the, right, these are prime years to develop kind of the next wave of fans and, you know, a lot of fathers and mothers who would like to watch games at home with their kids can't do it now, you know? So that's what they're up against in terms of, like, the public expectation. It's, well, you took the games away from us, you better win.
Well, I got one more for you, and if you can answer quick, it would be preferable. you talked a little bit about the fans feeling it. At what point does the blame shift from the players to the front office? Because you made up a really good point. This organization, this front office has started to show that they can draft and develop. Yet they continually draft and develop, yet they are hesitant to move these guys to get the top-tier relievers that they need. At what point does the blame shift from the field to the front office?
I mean, I think it already kind of has, right, in terms of you know, you look at the thing from a couple years ago, right? They went with Darvish instead of Verlander. You know, maybe last year, I guess, they got Machado. I mean, he was the guy. I'm not really sure they could have done anything else. But, yeah, this year it was very clear, right? Going into the deadline, they need bullpen help. They didn't get it. If the bullpen blows in October, trust me, it's going to be the front office that's playing.
There it is.
And Dylan Hernandez. They'll blame Dylan, too. They'll blame Dylan, too, for something, somehow, some way.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it. Always great having Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times on. That's mind-boggling.
Right.
40 games over 500, and people are going crazy. Dylan Hernandez
it's on, all the, relative.
On the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. Congratulations out there, Garrett Williams. Hey, Garrett Williams, you are our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to call us back. The phone number is 833-288-0973. If you do call back in 10 minutes, Garrett Williams, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Padres-Cubs September 11th, plus a bonus. You'll get tickets to see the Aztecs home opener Saturday against Weber State. Also, you'll be entered to win our grand prize road trip to Las Vegas that includes a two-night stay at the newly renovated Flamingo Las Vegas, along with tickets to see Paula Abdul's new show. This is quite a prize package. Garrett Williams, call us. Your 10-minute start now, 833-288-0973. For the rest of you, get signed up for this giveaway. Go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Big five, Scraby?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay.
Why do you guys do that?
I just had to. It's coming up. Gwynn and Chris from Petco Park. Stick around.
437, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
Just trying to do a radio show here, and Scraby's babbling on about stuff during the break.
What?
Yes, he is babbling.
Why am I babbling?
We got to. I don't know.
Because that's what you do. You babble.
I don't babble.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
He doesn't know what's going on.
We have to turn your mic off just to return to the airwaves.
We're here at Petco. We're here at Petco Park. Start of a three-game set between the Padres and the Dodgers. But first, we have our Big Five and Matt Scraby.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwynn and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Three, four, you fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right. My mic is open. It's ready to go. The Big Five.
Unfortunately, your mic is open.
It wasn't. The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater, that's ECOWaterSD.com. And let's get to it, Thomas. Number five.
Number five.
Because this is one that's near and dear to my heart. Fantasy football is back. And also, one of my favorite things that happens around the country is Fantasy Football League punishments. Well, a league that I've been in for over 10 years now instituted a punishment last year, thankfully, because I came in last place twice in a row before this punishment happened. But our punishment went viral. This was our goal, was to make it go viral. We went through quite a few punishments, including going to a dinner in a dress, hosting a dinner. But we settled on this. Playing a recorder or a flute on the Embarcadero in San Francisco until you get $20 in tips. Listen to my friend Eric Liu playing Snoop Dogg out in the Embarcadero yesterday. So that was him playing at the Embarcadero yesterday, and he had to get $20 in tips thrown into like his guitar case.
How long did this take?
You know what? I don't know, but the live video that was sent to me was quite long. So I'm thinking he eventually had to get, like, one of my friends, Deming. He had to get in there and, like, start cheering for everyone. Like, everybody step right up to the flute player.
He was the hype man.
He was the hype man.
I got to be honest with you. I probably would have hired a friend of mine to come by with a $20 bill and just fling it in there and walk past.
See, we weren't allowing that.
I don't care if you're allowing it. I would think I would have done it anyway. But since you bring it up, you know who finished last in our league last year, don't you?
Not me.
No. Braden Suprenant.
Oh.
Braden.
So should we make him play the flute on the Embarcadero down here?
We might have to.
Think of something.
Well, so that was pretty cool for us to go viral and all that stuff. But, Tony, do you like fantasy football punishments? And wait, real quick, if you want to check out the video, it's on 973thefansd.com. I just tweeted it out as well.
I assume, what was the buy-in for this league that you're talking about?
There's no buy-in.
Okay. So
quite hefty, though, but no buy-in.
So then it's appropriate to have a fantasy football punishment. If I'm losing money, I think that's punishment enough. But since you guys aren't having any money, of course, I think that's a great idea. It keeps it live. It keeps people from, and actually keeps people from, at the end of the year where they know they're not in the playoffs, just not setting their lineup and giving up free wins.
Oh, they were battling to the end.
Because if you don't, you could end up playing a flute at the Embarcadero.
Chris, do you like punishments?
I think the NBA ought to think about doing this for the teams that are trying to get the number one draft choice.
You're right.
I think the owner, the general manager, and the coach of every last place team in the NBA each season ought to go down to the Embarcadero in their city and be forced to play music to raise money for their favorite charity. I mean, some sort of punishment. This is a great idea.
This is a great idea.
This is an idea whose time has come. Never mind the fantasy football world. Let's get it in the real world, because teams out there, Major League Baseball teams, the Orioles, the Tigers, the Royals, I'm talking to you, the Marlins, all of you teams that aren't trying to win any games, you'd be trying to win games if you had to go stand naked in the public square and play the flute.
Oh,
it's time to give some punishments.
I mean, do we really want to necessarily hurt the
public?
The public that don't have anything to do with it?
That would be unfair to the public. But you know what I'm getting at? I think that you've come up with something here, Scraby.
Punishments. Yes,
some punishments for teams that don't play through to the end of the season.
I like it.
Well, good.
Instead of a reward, which is the number one pick and the number two pick,
you don't get that.
You don't get that. You get a punishment. Try to win. I cannot believe that people sign up to be in the world of sports and then try not to win. I find that so distasteful and so hard for me to believe.
That's why the NBA draft was such karma. The Suns all lost a whole bunch of games, and the Knicks lost a whole bunch of games, and neither of them ended anywhere near the top.
Well, if you want to see that video of my friend playing Snoop Dogg on the flute, go to 973thefansd.com or 973thefansd on Twitter. Let's go.
If you lose 100 games in a baseball season, the whole team should have to play the flute and raise a ton of money for charity in the city. Or do something for the homeless. Or do some, you know, make something, give something back to the city. Since you made the city have to put up with you for an entire season, give something back. I like this idea. I think we're on to something here.
All right. Fantasy football coming through. Former Pro Bowl fullback LeRon McClain complained of head issues related to football and asked the league for help in a series of tweets since Saturday. He said, quote, on Twitter, "I have to get my head checked. Playing fullback since high school, it's takes too bleeping much to do anything. My brain is bleeping tired. At NFL, I need some help with this bleep. Dark times and it's showing. Help me, please. They don't care. I had to get lawyers, man." And that was the end of the tweet. I had to dodge those mines of expletives. But sad story. It's everywhere today. So, Chris, how should the NFL handle former players claiming they have head injuries?
Oh, just the same way they always handle it, by saying that we do everything we possibly can to protect these players, and we are very concerned about their health and well-being. Excuse me, by the way, until they're done playing, then we don't care about them anymore. I mean, what do you mean, how should the NFL handle this? They ought to take some of the billions of dollars that they get in television revenue and start spreading it around to these people that really truly need it after their careers are over. This has been an ongoing issue for 2 decades now surrounding the National Football League, and mostly the National Football League has paid some lip service to it, and they do just enough to try to appease people, but they're not fooling me. And if you remember the movie Concussion with Will Smith, the NFL tried to squash that entire movie. That's how embarrassed they were by the information that came out in that. And we live in a city where we lost Junior Seau, and other people live in cities where they've lost other former players from CTE and other brain injuries. But the NFL, forever and ever and ever, is going to give it the old college try, but there is nothing they're going to be able to do about these guys getting hurt. So the only thing they can do is try to help them once they do.
Tony, what do you think? How should the NFL handle former players claiming they have head injuries?
They should start with giving better health insurance to the cats that have played and have played it. You know, whatever you come up with some type of parameters for it, and you provide these guys with better health care. I mean, ultimately, these guys are playing at their choice, but the NFL is profiting at a ridiculous amount because of it.
Ridiculous.
So why not use some of that money to help these guys? I promise you, if you gave them the best health care possible, there would still be billions of dollars left over for you to do whatever you need to do at the end of the day.
There is no way any NFL owner needs any more money than they already have. No possible way. And it's time to try your best to take care of these people. I don't think you can take care of them in a lot of instances, but you can at least try to take care of them. I don't know why. What was this, LeRon McClain?
Yes.
Why he should even have to be putting a tweet out asking for help. I mean, it just should be a no-brainer. Excuse the pun.
Obviously, this is what he thinks is his last case or last chance to do anything about it. Or get attention to it, you know? He's gone this far.
I feel very bad for him. How many times have I said this? That I really appreciate all these guys in the NFL who want to go out there on Sundays and bash their heads together for 3 hours for my entertainment. I really appreciate them doing that. Because I wouldn't do it for them.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
All right.
Number 3.
Team USA's basketball team did something for the first time in front of 50,000-plus fans at Melbourne's Marvel Stadium in Australia. They lost. The Australian national team beat Team USA 98-94 on Saturday morning, which ended a 76-game win streak for Team USA. The last time the team lost with NBA players was in 2006. So, Tony, is this a sign of the world catching up to Team USA?
No. This is a sign of
what? The Team USA is now 76-1. Yes, the rest of the world is right on their heels.
No, this isn't a sign of anybody catching up. First of all, no disrespect to the guys on that team. There are a lot of really, really good NBA players that chose not to be a part of it for whatever their reasons are. So, yes, are they catching up to this group? Maybe. But this also could just be the first game in which they start to get the rhythm and they begin to, as they did the very next day against Canada, they beat them by 20. So I think Pop said from the very beginning that Australia would be probably their biggest challenge in this FIBA World Cup games. But No, I don't think the rest of the world is catching up to the United States, at least not yet. They had closed the gap there for a little bit, but over the last 8 years, that gap has been reopened.
Chris?
Well, I don't think they're closing the gap. I disagree to a certain extent because I think there's more and more international players that can play this game at a phenomenally high level now. There just happens to be way more of them in the United States than in any other country. So I don't overreact to one loss.
What are you disagreeing with him?
I guess I'm not disagreeing. I'm looking at it from a different angle when you say that other countries don't have enough players.
They haven't closed the gap is what I said.
They haven't closed the gap.
Yeah.
I think they haven't. I think they've closed the gap just in the sense that there are some unbelievably good international players now. There used to be a handful of them. Now there's a really a boatload of them all. So that's where I think the gap has closed, but USA's still on top, and one loss isn't going to change that. And even if they did fall a little behind, so be it. It's not the end of the world.
Agreed.
We don't have to be the best basketball playing country in the world.
Are you kidding? Yes, we do.
Why?
Because we're the USA.
I see.
I see.
I don't know why I'm yelling.
Okay.
Next one.
Number two.
Carly Lloyd, the U.S. Women's National Team midfielder, turned heads when she drilled a 55-yard field goal while visiting the Eagles and the Ravens at practice last Tuesday. Last week, she said she got some inquiries.
There you go.
From NFL teams. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? She told NBCSports.com, quote, "I'm laughing about it, but the more I think about it, this has the chance to be a sort of a pioneering moment for women. I know that I could probably do it," end quote. So, Chris, how far away are we from seeing a female kicker in the NFL?
Well, I'm not going to sound like the world's greatest guy here, but
you can answer the question honestly. It's
I'm
okay.
going to. I think we're quite a ways away. Of all the due respect to Carly Lloyd for making a 55-yard field goal, I can tell you that I once made a 55-yard drop kick, and that's true when I was in college, but I was standing in a field by myself with nobody around. It's a little different kicking a 55-yard field goal with a bunch of 300-pound men rushing at you, so the circumstances weren't quite the same. Obviously, she has a tremendously strong leg, and I respect her abilities. And I respect the abilities of all women to go out and do their best and give it a shot to be kickers. We've seen a few of them make it into the Division I ranks even and make some extra points and some field goals. But as far as a female kicker in the NFL, I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. I'm saying that I just think we're quite a long ways away from it.
Tony?
I sound way too sexist but I don't know how else to put it.
I don't think that's sexist. I agree. I mean, because if it was just solely walking out on the field and kicking the field goal, and that's the only thing that ever happened on a field goal attempt, I would say we're closer. But we know that there's kicks that get blocked, and kickers are in the line of fire. And I have a hard time seeing a defensive end or a defensive tackle block a kick and a female kicker getting blocked into the ground as the play is going down the sideline. I just don't see that being something that we're close to at this point.
There's nothing wrong with what you guys said. Let's move on.
Number one.
Current Rams linebacker and former Packers linebacker Clay Matthews revealed to Michael Silver in an interview today he couldn't believe the Packers didn't offer him a new deal in the offseason. Matthews said that there was some discussions between his agent Ryan Williams and the Packers general manager before free agency started. They mutually agreed that he could figure out his value on the open market and hopefully something would be worked out later with the team. But days after that, Clay Matthews said he got a phone call from the GM saying that there was no money available for him. Quote, "I always felt like I would probably end up back there. We just needed to figure out what the going rate was, but that wasn't the case. They told me there was no room for me," end quote. Tony, how do you feel about players talking about how things went down after the fact?
Say that again. What do I think about what?
How do you feel about players talking about how things went down after the fact? Kind of like airing the dirty laundry.
Is it that dirty laundry? I mean, I'm sure he was asked a question why he wasn't back in the Packers. He gave the answer. very rarely do players just offer up information without being asked of it.
They're not going to be like, "Hey, do you want to hear about why I'm not in Green Bay anymore?"
It doesn't generally.
But don't you think he could say, "You know, that's the past. I'm here focused on the Rams."
I think there's always a strategic reason, or there's reasons why he wanted that job. Of course he wanted that job. He feels disrespected in some sense, right? He wanted to finish his career there. And he was told one thing, and then they came back and said another thing. So people are going to feel some type of way.
Darn it! I was going to use that line. I was waiting to use your line, and you took it.
But sometimes, you know, when you feel some type of way, you don't necessarily care what the right thing to do is all the time. And clearly, Clay Matthews felt a little disrespected.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, very few of us, and I mean very, very few of us, will ever know what it's like to be basically traded or given up on by an organization. Now we might get fired from our job, and that doesn't feel too good.
No.
And so I can understand that it doesn't feel too good even for an NFL player. And I think Clay Matthews probably did want to play the rest of his career in Green Bay and was led to believe that he would. But he should know better. That in the National Football League,
also
they do not care about you at all. As soon as they think you've reached your limit of how you can help them, they are going to cut you like that. So Clay Matthews ought to be a little bit more understanding of what happened to him, because that's what happens to all NFL players. And he ought to be pretty happy that there's another team out there that wants to give him a bunch of money to still keep playing.
It's very true.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
But I totally understand why Clay Matthews was feeling some type of way. I love that line.
Hold on.
It's my all-time favorite. What?
My EcoWater read got...
Oh, just make it up, will you?
Gosh.
Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater. It is really, 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 really. Did you find it yet? Really, 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 really. Did you find it yet?
I'm going.
Really, really, really.
Oh, here it is. The EcoWater is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Wait, did I say EcoWater is brought to you by EcoWater? Never mind.
Just
great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water Systems. That's really,
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 really
clean water.
He is no longer allowed to talk about you and your phone and anything. This guy has his read on the phone, can't find it. He's scrolling back months.
He has one screen. Read, he can't find it.
ECOWaterSD.com. What was that, Thomas?
What's up, Scraby?
I can't stand you.
Tony Gwynn Jr. on his way over to the radio booth. He'll be calling tonight's game with Jesse Agler.
Jesse Agler.
Correct.
Good. Look forward to tuning into that. We got an hour to go on Gwynn and Chris, and then we got a pregame show ahead of Dodgers Padres. Stick around. We'll talk some NFL in this 5 o'clock hour as well, and our countdown.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.